Acts chapter 16 this morning. How do you turn a jailhouse into a church house? Turning a jailhouse into a church house. Acts chapter 16. I was reading over this the other day, and God just gave me some things, and I want to share them with you. I feel like that's what the Lord would have us to look at this morning. So if you have your Bibles, and for the sake of time, I'm going to let you just be seated. I want you to pray along with me in just a minute. But I want you to look at, if you would please, in Acts chapter number 16. I'll point out two or three verses to you, and then bring you the message on how to turn your jailhouse into a church house. In Acts 16, in verse number 13, first of all, I want you to see here, the Bible said on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wrought to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Then Paul and Silas, as the Bible said there in verse 14, there was a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God. Now watch this, though. She worshiped God. I heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, her and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained them. Now, I'm just going to do what they say, bootleg preaching sometime. Bootleg preaching is when you just run across something and you jump with it and you just go off. But in Acts 16, you are familiar with the jailer we're going to look at in just a minute. And what's amazing here is that there are two conversions in Acts 16, and in both instances, both of these people, once they got saved, they wanted to get baptized, and once they got baptized, then they wanted to tell their household about it. I believe this, my friend, salvation's so good that you don't want to keep it just to yourself, amen. And when you get saved, you want to tell somebody that you got saved, amen. I believe we got enough silent disciples today. We need some folk today that's willing to speak up and let the world know what side we are on. Amen. And here, when Lydia got saved, she wasn't ashamed. She wasn't embarrassed. She said, I want to tell the rest of my house what good things God has done for me. But then notice, as we read on down through there, and here's the next verse I want you to see in verse number 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer. Oh, second time in these verses he's talking about prayer. And as they went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Here was a fortune teller, a little girl who was a fortune teller possessed by the devil. And yet, my friend, as the Bible said, as they began to preach the word of God, guess what happened? It should not be a surprise, but the devil pops his head up. And the Bible said in the following verses, in verse 17, this little girl followed them and cried out to them and said, these men of God, servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. She became a distraction. Well, the story goes on. Well, for the sake of time, Paul and Silas were arrested, as you know, and thrown into jail. And the Bible said there in verse 25, again, he says, and at midnight, and Paul and Silas, what'd they do? They prayed. I don't know about you, friend, but if that had been the average Christian and I put myself in there, we would have been crying and saying, oh, woe is me. Lord, look what I get for trying to serve you. I mean, I got the short end of the stick. We've been out there. We've seen people saved and people baptized and demons cast out, and yet, Lord, here we end up in jail. What's up with that? And yet, my friend, they turned their jailhouse experience into a church house. Amen. Aren't you glad that God can hear you pray no matter where you're at, no matter what condition you're in, no matter if you're in the hospital room, no matter if you're in the funeral home? Thank God, He is always listening. He is always ready to hear. His arm is not shortened. His ear is not deafened. He hears the prayers of God's people. Amen. We sat in McDonald's up here in Greensboro 2 weeks ago, and Joanne and I sat down, and the topic came up about this piano. And she said, "Preacher, you know, we need a new piano. We need another piano." I said, "Yes, ma'am, we do." And this is what I said. "What kind?" She said, "Oh, it don't matter." I said, "Yeah, it does." I said, "What kind?" She said, "Oh, it don't matter." I said, "What about a Yamaha?" "Well, that'd be fine." And I said, "What colors?" "Oh, that don't matter." I said, "Yeah, it does." I said, "What about a black one?" "Oh, that'd be nice." Friend, I believe this. When we pray, the Bible said, pray specifically. Yeah. Now, listen to me. Don't go out of here, y'all. I have a problem with that word. I used to have a problem with the word magician. I finally got it down pat. But that word specifically, I have a problem with it. And some of you will come up to me and you'll say, "Hey, that is specifically option." Amen. Now, I just tell you, I have a problem with pronunciation of that word. Amen. But specifically or pacifically, whichever you want, I believe we need to pray specifically for things. Amen. I mean, if we pray for good health, I believe, friend, we need to pray specifically for good health. I mean, listen, I believe if God is in the business of hearing our prayers, and if God, listen, I believe this, when you go in a store, you just don't walk in and say, "Well, just give me some of this and some of that, it'll all be okay." No, honey, listen, if I go in there, I'd like to have some nice 3/4 to 1 inch cut ribeye steaks with a little marbling on them. Amen. I don't shop for groceries unless they're specifically, amen. Amen. Now, here we go. How did they turn their jailhouse into a church house? Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, I pray I be led and divinely guided by the Holy Ghost of God. Blessed now, I pray. I know, Lord, there's nothing in myself, there's nothing I can do to convince people. Holy Ghost of God, I know over 40 years I have tried, but I cannot. I am not you. I cannot change people, but you can. I pray, God, you just take the simple message, speak to every heart, and we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. How to turn your jailhouse into a church house. Now, notice something. There's about 5-6 things here God gave me. I'll share them with you. Number one, first thing that I believe in order to change a jailhouse experience into a church house experience is being able to have prayer. 3 times we've already mentioned here, verse 13, 16, 25. Here this story begins with a prayer meeting. It continues with a prayer meeting. And here we find a businesswoman by the name of Lydia in verse number 14, a seller of purple. And the Bible said, now watch something, that when she heard Paul and Silas, the Bible said, now watch something here. She had worshiped God, but then the Bible said, whose heart the Lord opened. Amen. You realize today that unless God opens your heart like the flower opens its petals to the morning sun, you cannot be saved. Amen. You don't get saved when you want to get saved, but you get saved when the Holy Ghost of God opens your heart and shows you that this is God's word, the only way to heaven, and that if you reject that, you're going to hell. God opened her heart, and she got saved. Look what happened there. Then she followed him in baptism. That's an act of obedience. Thank God. Amen. That when you get saved, you ought to follow the Lord and believe in His baptism. Oh, we hit a nerve there, did we now, preacher? I believe every born-again child of God ought to be baptized, and it's not through this way, amen. It's not through the only scriptural method of baptizing is going down in the water, amen.
Why is that? Because baptism is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And for those folk that believe in this kind of number here, honey, then that what that means is you take an old dead body, lay him out on top of the ground, throw some dirt over him, and he's done. Amen. No, you bury a dead body. Why? Because he'll stink if you don't. Amen. And my friend, the only scriptural method of baptizing is by immersion. And by the way, baptism comes after salvation, not before. You don't get baptized to get saved. You get baptized because you have been saved. Baptism is obedience. Now, just when things are going good, I mean, son, I tell you what, that's pretty good. I'd like to be in some of them kind of meetings, wouldn't you? Verse 13, they had a great prayer meeting, and out of the prayer meeting, this businesswoman got saved and opened up her house. Bible said there in verse 14, so forth, she attended to the things that were spoken, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house. Amen. Boy, I like it when folk invite the preacher to come over. Amen. Amen. You say, why is that? Well, there's a couple reasons. Hopefully y'all got something to eat. Amen. But I believe this, my friend, when she got saved, not only did she get saved and her household got saved, but honey, I believe it changed what was in her house. I mean, listen, I believe this. If you can invite the preacher over, in fact, two preachers over, that cleaned her house out good. Amen. I mean, if you, if the preacher were to show up today, or any preacher, would you have to run through and throw out some stuff and hide some stuff and delete some stuff off the TV remote? Hello there. I mean, listen, when the man of God shows up, by the way, the Lord already has been there. He has seen everything in your house. Amen. Oh, now let's get back to preaching. We've met. All right, number two. Now notice something here. Just when things are going good, and here's why I want to talk to you today. The sun may have been shining in your life, and all of a sudden, you've got a prison experience. All of a sudden, things aren't looking so sweet anymore. Look what happens. The number two thing is a prison. The demons were cast out of this little girl here in verse 18 and so forth. And when the demons were cast out, when they were cast out, then those fortune tellers, that these people that owned that little girl, her masters in verse 19, they saw that her hope of their gains were gone. They caught Paul and Silas, and notice what they did with them. They drew them into the marketplace, and notice what they did. They levied two charges against them. Either one of these charges would have meant certain death. Number one, look in verse 20, please. Besought to them magistrates, saying, these men, number one, do exceedingly trouble our city. They're causing a riot. They're causing uproar. Now, that was punishable by death in itself. If you caused an uprising in a city that was owned by Rome, you would be put to death. That was the first charge. Second charge is this. And he says there, and they also teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. They're teaching false doctrine. Oh my. If that was the case today, then half of the preachers would be had their head on chopping blocks. Amen. Oh my. Let me reiterate that. Not everything you hear over TCT and not everything you hear over the gospel radio station, not everything that you listen to is of God. Amen. Bible said, try the Spirit, see if they're of the Lord or not. And my friend, there's enough false doctrine out there. There's enough false cults out there. My friend, you need to be grounded and rooted in the Word of God. That's why you need to come to church when the doors are open. Say amen. Amen. Well, these fellas troubled our city. They're teaching customs that we don't agree with. What you going to do about it? Notice what their punishment, their first punishment was this.
the first thing happened, and the multitude rose up against him. Look in verse 22. And the first thing they did, they called the magistrates over, and they jerked their clothes off of them. The Bible said they rent their clothes and commanded to be beaten. The first thing they did was they drew them out into the city and tore their clothes off. Then they reached over and grabbed the wooden rods and commenced to beat their backs until they were sore and bruised and bleeding. Well, if that wasn't enough, then they said, now throw them into the prison. Now watch this. The Bible said, and they were taken down. Now look in verse 24. In verse 23, and they had laid many stripes upon them. They cast them, and the word cast is harrowed. I mean to like pick up a sack of feed and just throw it in. They cast them into the prison and charging the jailer to keep them safety. It's your job. If they get out of here, your head's on the chopping block. Now, watch, he said in verse 24, who having received such a charge, not only did he get them into the prison, but he put them into the solitary confinement. He put them in the innermost part of the prison. And not only that, but he made their feet fast in the stocks. I mean, son, he wasn't taking no chances. Not only did he have them in the prison, he had them inside the inner prison, but he said, I'm going to do one more. I'm going to put their feet in the stocks. I'm going to lock her down, and that's where they're going to sit until they can rot away. Now watch. Now the Bible said here in verse 25, now I don't know at what point in time all these events happened, but now, listen to me a second. It had to have been sometime during the daylight hours. Sometime during the daylight hours. So now they've been cast into prison, and now it's 12 o'clock midnight. I don't know, listen, if it's 12 o'clock midnight, it's 12 o'clock midnight. If it's 12 o'clock midnight here, I don't know what time it is over here, but it's 12 o'clock midnight when these stories took place, this story. And at midnight, I can imagine if that was me and Brother Steve had our feet fashioned in a stock, we'd probably look to one another and we'd say this. What did we do to deserve this? What did we do? I mean, look, wait a minute. Let's back up just a second. Lydia got saved. Her household got saved. Little demon-possessed girl got saved. Demons were cast out. Hallelujah. Boy, God's good. Hallelujah, God. It's just a working, I mean, oh, and look what we get out of this situation. Are you any different? I mean, you might say this morning, you know, I come to church, I try to read my Bible, I try to pray, I try to be faithful, I even support the church, I even maybe go sell hot dogs on Saturday, I even go down and help at a Liberty Antique Festival, I even mow the grass. I do this, I do that, and look what happens to me. All of a sudden, the bottom falls out. It's not fair. How many has ever heard that? And you know what my response is when people come to me and they'll say something like this, preacher, it's not fair all this happened to me. It's not fair that I got this problem. It's not fair that I lost my job. And you know what my response is? You know what the definition of the word fair is? Fair is something that comes to town one time a year and you pay money to go to. What did these men do to deserve this kind of punishment? And the answer is zero, nada, nothing, not a thing. But now watch something here. I want you to see in the prison, here they are in the midnight hour. They're in prison. One of the most interesting studies, we did this on Wednesday night a few years ago, and probably sometime in the future might do it again. But if you'll take and you'll study the prison experiences of the people in the Bible, here's something you'll learn. Number one, God never told his people to build any prisons.
The Jews never built one single prison. In fact, the Jews, their law said, if you're guilty, take him out and stone him. Don't let him live. He's done breathed enough of God's air. It's over and done with. No appeals, no long prison sentence, nothing. He's dead. He's a goner. Take him out and stone him. That's what the Jewish law said. But some of God's choicest and best servants went down into a prison. Joseph was one. Paul and Silas was one. And the things that they learned in prison were lessons that you and I need to know today. And as Paul here, how they took a jailhouse experience and turned it into a church house, notice what happened. The Bible said, first of all, they prayed and sang praises. They had, number three, they had a potential problem. Their potential problem was this. They could have gotten discouraged. Paul could have looked at Silas and said, you know what, old boy? I'll tell you one thing. If I ever get out of here, I'm never going back to preaching. I'm never going to do any of that anymore. Hey, this preaching business, it'll get your head chopped off. It'll get you locked up. I'm quitting when I get... You just wait. I'm submitting my notice right now. Silas said, I'm with you. But they didn't. If Paul had stopped at this point, guess what would have happened? We wouldn't have had the rest of the New Testament. We wouldn't have had the other epistles. We wouldn't have had his other missionary trips. My friend, if Paul had stopped when the going got tough, my friend, he would have been washed up and done for. But he continued on even in a prison. Here's my point. When the circumstances of life come your way, you have a choice to make. Either you can sit down and complain and get discouraged, or either you can turn that jail cell into a church house. Either you can do what they did, and here's what they did. Number one, they worshiped God. They began to pray. You know what? It's hard to pray, but when it's hard to pray, that's when you need to pray hard. When things are difficult, listen, anybody can serve God on top of the mountain. Anybody can shout when all's going well. Anybody can praise God when all the bills are paid. But it takes a true Christian to be able to take a bad circumstance and turn it into a good thing for God. Amen. Whatever you're going through, if it had been us, most of us would probably complain and gotten discouraged. Gotten down in the mouth. Notice number four, the praise. The circumstances that you complain about become the chains that will imprison you. Can I say that again? Listen to me. Everybody listen to me. The things that you complain about will become the chains that will imprison you. Whatever you're complaining about, you say, preacher, you just don't know my job situation. You don't know my health situation. You don't know my financial situation. You don't know my family situation. The things that you complain the most about are chains that are wrapping you up. And all of a sudden, there's where people quit on God, get out of church, sit at home, have a pity party. Honey, it's time to turn the jailhouses into church house experience. Whatever's getting you down, don't let it get you down. My friend, listen, don't be under the circumstances. People say, how you doing? Considering the circumstances, under the circumstances, I'm doing pretty good. I'm not under the circumstances. I'm on top of them. Praise God, because you can take a jailhouse experience and turn it into a church house experience. Once you see something, the only way that you can turn a bad situation into a good situation is to learn how to worship the Lord. Look in verse 25. First of all, prayer. That is something everybody in this room can do. Hello? I mean, honey, you don't have to be some intellectual giant. You don't have to be some educated doctorate, my friend. Anybody can bow. Anybody can approach the throne of grace. Anybody can go before the throne of God. It might be for a son. It might be for a daughter. It might be for a family member. But every one of you in here can learn to pray and reach up, grab hold of the throne of God and say, Lord, I'll not leave until you bless me. I'll not leave till you answer my prayer. God, I'm going to beseech you that in the name of Jesus, you'll do that, not for me, but for your name's sake. Amen. Remember the story in the New Testament where the fella, he was awakened at midnight. I can see him sleeping. He's sawing logs. He's got a stack of cordwood that high. I mean, son, he's getting some good Z's. And all of a sudden, he gets up and he shakes his head. Who in the world? It's midnight. What? He opens and throws the window. Why? What are you doing now? Now he said, I need some bread. Well, come back in the morning when we're open. I'm closed. What do you want? I want some bread. And my friend, the Bible said, because of his persistent begging, the guy got up, came down, and got him some bread. I wonder. You know, many times when we pray like this. We'll ask God one time, and then we'll figure, well, that's good enough. No. God wants to see how serious you are. Amen? Hey, listen. Brother James just said, now listen, me and Brother Harry, both of just me and him was over here Thursday night a week ago, and I said, Brother Harry, I know we got many needs, we got many burdens, we got many things on, but one thing I want to do, Matthew 18 says this, if two of you, agree on anything that's touching on this side of heaven, it shall be done for his name's sake. We come over and he grabbed one side, I grabbed the other, and we began to pray for this piano that God would put a black baby grand Yamaha piano in there, and honey, I believe God can do it.
Amen.
Not for me, not for her, but for him.
Amen.
What do you have need of? Do you have persistent begging? Do you have persistent prayer? And I believe, first of all, to turn a jailhouse experience into a church house, you got to pray. Number two, you got to praise. Even when the going gets tough. It's easy to praise God when everything's going well. It's difficult to praise him when everything's going wrong. Don't let what's going wrong in your life keep you from worshiping what's right with God. Can I say that again? Don't let what's wrong in your life keep you from worshiping God, what is right with him. My friend, you can have joy in the midst of your problems, in the midst of difficulty. Hebrews said, who, talking about the Lord Jesus, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand on the throne of God. When Jesus went to the cross, there was nothing joyful about it. There was nothing beautiful about it. There was nothing enjoyable about it. But he endured the cross. You know why? He looked beyond the cross and he saw you. He saw me. He saw the multitudes that would come. He said, this present trial is nothing to be compared to what's going to happen down the road. And my friend, whatever you're going through, look ahead. Help is inside. God has a reason for that prison experience. God has a reason for that valley experience. God has a reason for that physical problem you've got. God has a reason for the hardship you're going through. God has a reason for whatever is going wrong in your life. He's got a reason. Now I want you to see something. True worship is getting our eyes off of the present and looking to see what God has done. What has God done for you? I don't know what he's done for you, but he's paid my sin debt.
Amen.
Jesus went to the cross. It's paid for, full and free. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Thank God, when he paid my sin debt, it was stamped full and free. It's paid in full. And just as the choir sang this morning, I am free. I'm free from the penalty of sin. I'm free from the power of sin. And one day I'll be free from the very presence of sin. He's coming back.
Amen.
And you get down and out, think about what he's done for you. He's given me a home in heaven. He's given me peace beyond measure. I mean, my friend, when it looks like everything in this world is going wrong, God gives you peace. He loves me no matter what. Thank God. That's what my Lord has done for me just a little bit. Oh, when things get bad and when things get worrisome, look ahead. Joy comes in the morning. Last of all, I want you to see the power. You say, look what happened here. Watch this and I'll be done. And verse 26. Now, we skip over a lot of this. I want you to see something. First of all, look what the miracles that happened right here. First of all, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. Now, I don't know how great it was, but I would imagine if the Bible says a great earthquake, it was a pretty good thumper. Amen? I mean, son, it probably went off the Richter scale. Yeah. Come on, now think with me. The Bible says over in Revelation, a great earthquake hit Jerusalem and split the city, just split it in half. Now, I don't know how great this one was, but if the Bible said a great one, then it must have been a great one. Now watch something. How many of you remember just a year ago in August when there was an earthquake around these parts? It happened up in Virginia, but we felt the effects down here. Y'all remember that? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, that was just a little tremor. I stopped up yonder in Ramshur at the post office and asked a lady. I was driving, by the way, when that happened. And when once I stopped the car, I found out we had an earthquake. I didn't feel anything in the car. Some of you here at the church, y'all felt it here at the church. We had camp meet going on. I stopped at the post office up yonder. I asked a lady, I said, did you feel that earthquake? She said, honey, we felt so them lights in here shook. She said, you know what I believe? I believe it was God just stomping his foot. I said, amen, that's good. I like that. But now, wait a minute. That was just a little bitty old earthquake. That was just a little bitty old earthquake up in Virginia, and we felt it all the way down here in North Carolina. Hey, what did the Bible say? A great earthquake. All of a sudden, God sent a great earthquake. And listen, if it was that great of an earthquake, wouldn't you have figured that the walls of the prison would have fell in, that the city would have been leveled, that all of a sudden, utter destruction? But no. You see, God had one of them zero bombs like they do over yonder in Iraq. I mean, just zero it right in. And he just said, okay, right there, bam. Now watch this. Great earthquake. That's the first miracle. Notice something else. The prison foundations were shaken. Didn't collapse. They just shook it. But now notice something else. Here's another miracle. The doors flew open. Now, do you remember that they were, that Paul and Silas, they were fastened in the stocks? Amen? Here's an earthquake. It shook. But all of a sudden, the doors just mysteriously open. Hey, that's the hand of God. Amen. And God reached down and unshackled those men. And God broke the chains. And honey, I want to tell you, whatever is holding you down from praising the Lord, whatever is holding you down from worshiping God, whatever is holding you back, let go of the chains and praise the Lord in spite of the circumstances. Amen. Watch something here. And then all of a sudden, their bands were loosed, but every one of them didn't run. If that had been us, we'd have said, whoo, we got a free ticket out of here. Let's be gone. Here's another miracle. The Bible said here, there was conviction of the jailer. He saw the power of God. And my friend, this community out here needs to see there is a God in heaven. And Jesus is his name. He is still on his throne. Nothing takes him by surprise. There's no prayer too hard to be answered. There's no sinner too hard to be saved. There's no need that cannot be met. There is no disease that cannot be healed. Amen? This world out here needs to see there's something different about a little handful, a group of folk down here, Harmony Baptist Church, that says, I don't know about the rest of the crowd, but I'm going to believe God that he is still in the prayer answering, prayer healing, prayer business. Hallelujah. He can do it. Amen. If we believe him. Well, I ain't got time, but let me share this with you and I'll be done. Something I had never seen until the other morning I was reading this. Now watch what the events happen. It's midnight And the Bible said there, and I'll summarize this, the jailer came in and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Now watch this. It's midnight. It's dark. It's in the midnight hours. He takes them out of the prison. He takes them down to his house. He sets them down. He feeds them. He lets them preach to the rest of his house. They get saved. He gets saved. They go down to the river and get baptized. This is all going on at nighttime. Where'd they get baptized at? Probably the same river where Lydia got saved at. I don't know, but it was nighttime. Now watch this. I'd never seen this until the other morning. Now watch what he does. Here's what's amazing. Watch. Look in verse 35. Now, when it was day, all right, so this has happened all during the nighttime. When it was day, the magistrates and the sergeants, the magistrates sent the sergeants saying, "Let those men go." They sent word down. They had heard what had happened. Somehow or another, somebody went and told them. And so they got fearful. They said, now in verse 36, they said, "Let them go. The magistrates have sent to you, let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." Now, you know where he's at? He's in the jailer's house. The jailer gets word from his superiors and says, "Oh, fellas, by the way, the magistrates and sergeant said, now you fellas can go." And you know what Paul and Silas says? We're going to go back to prison. We're going to go back to prison. Look at verse 37. Paul said to them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." Let them come get us. And the sergeants told these words and the magistrates, and they feared when they had heard that they were Romans. And notice verse 9, and they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. They got a police escort. Yeah, Paul and Silas said, "No, wait a minute. God has delivered us from this prison experience, but it's not enough to go by and not let God get the glory for it. We want the rest of the world to know that God has set us free." And so I believe they went back and they said, "All right, we're back in here now. Come get us." And I believe those police escorts, they come and led them out of the city. And I believe the city watched as they walked by. And you know what? They could say, "Hey, God answers prayer. God set us free. Here's a demonstration of the grace and the mercy and the love of God. I mean, what God can do that man cannot do. He set me free." Amen. He delivered me. Whatever's holding you bound right now, God can set you free.